Ron, that frantic call there was because the sun had started to get in the IR. We didn't, hadn't really thought that would happen, but started to see it get in there. But you caught it in time. The cover saved it.
Okay, real good. I figured that's probably what it was.
And you can go ahead with the rest of the steps in there with the UV off after sunset.
Okay. Maverick camera's going off. Cover's closed in the IR, so the visual truck's on. That camera self-test. It's off. Yeah, let's see. I don't see the sun shining on my light out there. It must be sunset. Should be yet, though. Okay, UV is going off. Brought the IR cover back open just to keep things straighter.
Stand by on that.
Or just next time we use the IR, let's just remember to open the cover.
Okay, just open it up the next time we use it, which is in about 15 minutes. We'll remind you on that if you forget.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. That's right. These are just short sound passes now, aren't they?
That's right. Ron, I can finish up my description of the last night's EVA if you like, since there's nothing to look at now. I'm watching the clock on the sounder start for you.
Okay, hey, appreciate it.
Okay, I think I left off or was cut off there about mentioning two varieties of breccia in the South Massif. They found blue-gray and tan-gray. And without going into the geological details, those are the two types they found up there at Nansen. The subfloor unit was exposed as blocks and injector around larger craters that had been partly buried by dark mantle, and craters that apparently penetrated thin parts of the light mantle. Especially good samples were obtained from the rim of Camelot, where the same textural characteristics, which are banding caused by variations in vesicle concentration, coarse grain size, and mineralogic features as reported in EVA-1 were found. So apparently this unit is quite uniform over the distances that they've covered so far in the traverses. The prominent east-facing scarp crossing the valley floor from north to south about 5 kilometers west of the limb was traversed twice near the crater Lara, near hole in the wall, although hole in the wall appeared to be pretty subtle. No change in the surface characteristics or lithology of the mantle was discernible where the astronauts traversed the scarp. Outcrops of boulders were observed farther to the north. Where the northward extension of the scarp crosses the face of the North Massif, it forms a notably smooth and relatively young-appearing surface. Elsewhere, the surface of the North Massif is prominently furrowed and textured, and the crew described it as a crosshatch pattern on the surface that they could see, with one set of lineaments dipping eastward and the other westward at about 30 degrees. Some of the most interesting observations made during the EVA were related to craters. Many small craters within the dark mantle have glass-coated central pits. Jack called them dimples. Some of the pits are nearly cylindrical and maybe half again as deep as the crater itself. Other small craters occurring on both the dark and light mantle have bright halos, but these halos appear to be noticeably brighter on the light-colored material. This bright material is not blocky or fragmental ejecta derived from a subfloor layer, but rather appears to consist of instant rock or soil breccia, which has been partly consolidated by the impact shock itself. The most interesting eureka during the EVA was at Station 4, Shorty Crater, where Jack found some bright red or orange, he described it, orange dirt within the gray to dark gray rim materials. The colored banding is circumferential to the crater and resembled alteration halos which occur around many terrestrial volcanic vents. So you can see why the geologists are excited on that one. The morphology of Shorty, however, is similar in some respects to impact craters, hence a definitive interpretation of its origin may depend on sample analysis. And I got about a minute and a half to start the sound, or you might be close to 2:30 there if you aren't. They took a total of about 850 pictures. They've taken a total of 1,270, would you believe, pictures so far on the lunar surface, including about 150 with the 500 millimeter camera, mostly of the north, south, east massifs and Family Mountain. They got 56 samples, two double cores, probably about 36 kilograms worth, and they traveled a total distance of 20 kilometers. Over.
Hey, it sounds like a good summary. They're finding all kinds of things up there, which is the reason you explore, I guess, to find, see what you can find.
Yeah, they were really in their element last night. About 30 seconds to T-start time. I'll let you call it yourself, though.
Okay, I'll get it. Reiner Gamba, and he can find some sort of a topographic expression to that light-colored material around there. It looks to me like there is, right around the Reiner Gamba itself, anyhow.
Roger.
Waiting here, I decided decided to sleep last night without being tied down or anything. Still slept in the old, what do we call them in the Navy?
Hammocks, I think.
Well, anyhow, sleeper strings, we call them up here. Yeah, sleeping bag, some kind of sack. And the last two or three nights, what I do is put the lap belt on loosely. And, you know, it just kind of keeps you from rolling all over the cockpit. And last night I didn't put it on at all and stayed in the sack. And I really didn't go too far anyhow. One time I woke up and I was crossways in the couch up here. And then when I woke up this morning, my feet were up in the tunnel. And my head was kind of still in the center couch, more or less. So you really don't roam around too much that way anyhow, even if you aren't tied down. And you can get the a huggy pillow effect from being inside that sack and laying your head on the outside of the sack. It just about fits me such that if I stretch my feet out, then I get a little bit of a pull. A little bit of a pull on it, and it feels like a huggy pillow that way.
Kind of a security blanket effect, huh?
Yeah, right. Now, that was the biggest problem for the first two or three days here, is what you do with your head when you go to sleep. I'm used to sleeping with a pillow, and used to sleeping on my side. And it's amazing the psychological effect that you can get from... And for me, it's hard to go to sleep just laying on my back. So you just turn on your side, and you go right to sleep. Now, what's your side, what's your back, I don't know. But anyhow, it works.
That's got to be psychological.
It sure is.